Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome to the Skull and Parkins Show.
It's been a rough year for Danny Parkins.
This is getting a little absurd, though. The books got crushed on that Super Bowl, and I somehow lose money.
The who? The her.
I'm getting a little concerned. I think I'm going to start betting Horizon League basketball. I need something in the win column.
19. Hit me. 20. Hit me. 21. Hit me. 22.
Don't! We need random sports events around the world for Danny to bet on.
This is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
I'm going to be the guy who bets on, you know, the Jamaican sprinter or something, and he hits the hurdle and he falls.
I thought the Generals were due.
That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Find cricket matches, curling matches.
Backing right away, makes the hit, but rolls out. And that means a steal of three.
The Olympics open this week.
Oh.
Figure skating odds.
There you go.
Let's go.
Matt Spiegel. Danny Parkins.
All my money on Katarina Vick.
Middays on the Score.
The Kings came back and covered last night. That was an easy winner.
You didn't play it, though, did you?
No, of course I didn't play it.
Because you're gun shy.
Totally gun shy.
We need easy ones for you. The Olympics are here, and even though Katarina Vitt, Jay's guy, hasn't skated in a while, it's time you wrapped your heads around a few favorites. Maybe Nathan Chen, the 18-year-old figure skater from the USA.
Love Chen's game.
Right? You
yeah,
always have.
Closer.
Someone had the idea yesterday, and I love this. Is it possible to bet on USA and Canada to reach the final of the women's hockey tournament?
It seems likely. I don't know the squads this year. But
no,
our friend of the show, Layla Rahimi, covering USA and in general women's hockey for NBC at the Olympics.
That's tremendous.
I can get a scouting report from her.
You can. You
She's
absolutely
in
can.
South Korea.
Pyeongchang.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's get her on.
I'm going to say South Korea.
It's just better than saying Pyeongchang.
Just easier than saying Pyeongchang.
Yeah. And it sounds, I believe, mildly racist when I just say Pyeongchang.
When
like
you
that.
Say it, it
when
absolutely it. Sounds
like you're ordering Korean food or
well,
something.
Yeah. I like bibimbap, please. You ever have bibimbap? It's not bad.
Never.
Yeah, I had it once.
Never even heard of it.
Well, that's what it is. It's Korean food. But that's not why you call.
The
but
more you know.
We'll find you some easy favorites. Not Horizon League. You don't know jack about
no!
Horizon League hoops.
No, I don't know anything.
Not a thing.
No.
That was a hell of a tank comeback by the Bulls.
It was.
Man, 54-40 at the break, right? Having Zach LaVine on fire and athletic and slamming over people, posterizing guys and... you watched the second half. You took care of that for me, I think.
Yeah, Campy and I both watched the entire game.
Man.
I don't know why, really, but
I woke up immediately regretting that decision.
Yeah, I went to bed regretting that decision.
Well, like, you did see the Robin Lopez blow up in real time. Was that satisfying?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Hey.
I saw Bogdan Bogdanovic hit a big three when Zach LaVine did not hit a big three in the last 60 seconds of the game. So Bogdan helping out. The tank efforts, the Magic got a win yesterday. Teams all over the league were winning that weren't supposed to be winning.
And
it's
I believe
great.
The Bulls have the T-Wolves and the Wizards coming up, so their streak should continue. Things are looking up.
That's right.
In terms of looking down.
We'll get a little bit more into that coming up. Three technique at 10. We will go to both Super Bowl cities, Philly and Boston, and then a little bit up the road and talk some Northwestern hoops in the three technique coming up at 10. That's the rundown brought to you by Subway Restaurants. Head to Subway Restaurants for the $6 steak and cheese footlong. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Eli Hershkovitz is in for Jay Zawoski today. Mm-hmm. We are Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
I watched the two Bills last night. Finally made time to watch the two Bills. Parcells and Belichick. My God, is it phenomenal. just, you forget some of the craziness, or at least I forgot some of the craziness of how the league screwed the Pats the first time, and they ended up getting the draft picks as they lost Parcells. And then when they got Belichick back, they had to give draft picks back, all that stuff. But just seeing those guys talk, seeing these grizzled old bastards sharing some actual emotions, good vibes, man. Good vibes. You know, I like that.
Tense vibes, babe.
Yes, for sure.
Walking into that room, like driving there, Belichick describing him as a competitor.
Is he a rival? Competitor.
Competitor. It was great.
Yeah, there was some really cool stuff. And just the genius of Belichick in that playoff run of Super Bowl 25, when he had three different schemes, including a 4-3 for the first time all year against the Bears in the playoffs. Just three completely different schemes to take care of the Bears, the Niners, and the Bills. Three completely different offenses.
I loved it.
Oh, man, so good.
Best 30 for 30 that I've seen in a while. And I anticipated it more also than any that I had seen in a while. It was really good.
And I found myself wondering, like, if Belichick really did screw this up and bench Malcolm Butler for silly reasons that damaged his team, what is the list of people that can call him on that? Because Parcells is one guy who might be able to say, hey, Bill, what the hell? Why'd you do that? What the hell were you doing?
Possibly.
But I don't even know if Bob Kraft can call him on that. I mean, Bob Kraft is like, he's beholden to Bill. Bill has done a hell of a lot for Bob Kraft, obviously.
Yeah, right.
It's a short list.
It's a very short list, but I'm glad you brought the Butler thing up, because I'll be honest with you. Like, there was so much out of that Super Bowl, and we talked about it quite a bit yesterday because it's a huge storyline, and he's an unrestricted free agent, and the Bears need cornerback help. So I think that we'll be talking about Malcolm Butler, frankly, a lot of times throughout the offseason. But I'm just shocked as a media member that we don't have a more concrete idea of what happened. Like, there are 53 guys on that team. They all cleaned out their locker room yesterday. Only one evidently spoke to the media on anything.
I didn't know that was allowed, by the way. I thought more had to.
Yeah,
I guess not.
They're supposed to. Bill Belichick met the media yesterday, reiterated what he said post-game. Malcolm Butler hasn't said anything. Malcolm Butler's agent hasn't leaked anything.
Butler said they gave up on me. They effing gave up on me after the game.
Right, he spoke after the game, but I'm saying clean out. Since then, there has not been an interview conducted with Malcolm Butler. Mm-hmm. So that's 53 players, 20-something coaches, a bunch of agents, all of, you know, ownership, whatever of them know, significant others, friends close to the situation, people. We're talking about hundreds of potential sources that could break bad on what happened with Malcolm Butler, and we still don't really know what happened. That's crazy to me, just journalistically, that a guy who played in 97% of the defensive snaps all season long for the AFC champs and then plays in zero of them in the Super Bowl, and we still don't know exactly what happened.
The closest we've gotten is the Brandon Browner Instagram post, which is awkwardly edited, but it's Browner, the former teammate, basically telling you what his version of what he thinks went down, but that's just him kind of unsolicited throwing it out there.
Yeah, we'll get to that in 1 second, because we also have Ian Rappaport talking about stuff, but no one else has confirmed it, and he is talking in fairly vague terms. So let's do the Brandon Browner Instagram post first, because he recorded a video about it.
For weed, curfew. Man, do y'all history, man. Patriots is a team to give cats second chances. You feel me? I know players that they used to let wives sleep in the bed with them on away games. You know, I ain't going to say no names. Just like every job, like, there's always favorites. You feel me? And little bro wasn't a favorite. You know, he was a favorite as far as what he can do, but probably as it felt like they can, you know, use him. Like he was a pawn, a piece of the, you know, this game. Use him for what he's worth. He's going to, you know, give you everything. Going to give you your respect as the authority leader. Going to yes sir you when he talk to you. You feel me? So curfew and weed, man, miss me with that. You feel me? It was a power trip. They probably try to offer him some petty change for the game. He didn't take it. You feel me?
So weed and curfew.
Weed and curfew.
Says at the beginning, says it at the end, and then probably offered him some kind of power trip for the game. I didn't quite get that. But he said he's not a favorite. He's not a favorite. And if he was a favorite, he would have been allowed to play.
Right. And we'd heard some of that over the course of the year, and they, you know, they chose Stephon Gilmore in to pay him, and they let Malcolm Butler hit unrestricted free agency. So we always talk about actions over words, especially in the NFL. It's easier to read the actions because it's a salary cap sport, and they've let Malcolm Butler become an unrestricted free agent. I think that tells you a lot about how the Patriots self-scout the cornerback position, right? So, sure, he's not a favorite, but he was enough of a favorite to play in 97% of the defensive snaps this year and then not play in the Super Bowl but be healthy enough to dress for the Super Bowl and get some run on special teams.
Yeah.
So it's not an injury, but then here's the Ian Rappaport, NFL Network report, that adds maybe a little bit more context to this.
He arrived a day later than the team because he was sick. Remember, he did not take part in opening night. He also struggled this week in practice, having what was described to me as a very rough week, partly because of illness, but maybe other issues as well. That was one thing. And then I'm also told there was a minor team violation related to curfew, perhaps because of his attendance at a Rick Ross concert during Super Bowl week.
And who among us hasn't 745 white-eyed white? That's bleeping boss. That's my guy, Rick Ross. Who among us hasn't gotten a little high at a Rick Ross concert?
Found a comfort
been
zone.
Been a little late to work the next day.
Stop the presses. Found a Parkins comfort zone.
He's the effing boss. He's Rick Ross, of course. Hustling. Everyone loves that song. I mean, come on, Super Bowl week. Rick Ross doing a show.
You should know better, right?
Yeah, of course.
You should know better. If it's Tom Brady, of course, and he probably wouldn't, but if it's somebody who matters more in Belichick's mind.
If Brady missed curfew getting high at the Rick Ross show, I'd be a little surprised.
Jimmy Buffett. Okay. He went to see Buffett.
Gotcha.
But it's like, so, see, Belichick likes to say that everybody's the same, that everybody gets treated the same. And that's not the case. That's not how it works. It's funny because as we were talking about this, I was thinking about a moment in pregame where Belichick and Mike Holmgren were talking, happened to be driving around. Or no, I wasn't driving around. I was at the airport. That's what I was doing. Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
After my delay and then waiting on the...
You missed the start of the Super Bowl and you watched it on an iPad.
I did. I mean, I didn't miss a damn thing. What technology, what a world. But listen to Holmgren and Belichick talking about Brady in practice leading up to the game.
I saw you practice the other day and you were coaching like crazy to some of your best players who had been there a long time. You still push Tom?
You know, Mike, I try to coach them all the same.
Yeah.
I really do. I try. They're not all the same, but I try to coach them all the same.
Yeah.
If it's good, it's good. And if it's not good, it's not good. And I can't make good out of not good. And if it's good, I'm not going to say that it's, you know, it's bad. I'm going to say that, you know, this is what we need more of. So I try to be honest. I try to be fair. It's really not about what any of us have done in the past. That's all great or whatever. It is whatever it is. But it's about this season, this week, this game. That's what really matters is how we do this week, not how we did last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago.
With all due respect to maybe the greatest coach of all time, you say right there, they're not all the same. No, they're not all the same. I think you could have used your third corner. They only dressed three corners and only played two of them for the most part. Played the special teamer just for a couple of snaps on defense.
I just don't get it. Like, let's do the hypothetical thing here for a second.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if it's not Bill Belichick, he is getting crushed, skewered, barbecued for this.
I think he is on some level. It's like it's hard to find people to step out. Rob Ninkovich did it on EEI, you know, but there's not many that have gone after. But I mean, guys like us are.
I mean, I guess, but let's grant every rumor, just hypothetically, because we don't know what happened. But let's say he's a day late showing up, he's sick, he had a bad week of practice, he missed a curfew, he was at the Rick Ross show, and they found weed in his hotel room. Didn't get arrested with pot, we would have known that. But like they know for a fact that Super Bowl week, he was smoking pot. The whole game?
The whole game.
The whole game. You punish your entire team? A whole year's worth of work, you're getting okay, maybe a quarter, maybe a half. But Nick Foles is lighting you up. You're down 10 at half. The whole game?
You're shuffling your corners desperately, moving Rowe and Gilmore around because Alshon was eating you up early. And then Aguilar started eating up Rowe later on. You got Patrick Young trying to chase down slot receivers.
We would be crushing Doug Peterson. if it was his first Super Bowl and he did that and they lost the game because Tom Brady lit him up for 500 yards. We would be crushing him justifiably. If it happened in Chicago, are you kidding? Like, Matt Nagy gets the Bears to the Super Bowl in 3 years. Yeah. It's their first Super Bowl since, you know, it was a tried chance to win first Super Bowl since 85. He holds out a guy for smoking pot going to the Rick Ross show.
Yeah.
That's insane.
What's incongruous is all the stuff from the two Bills, the 30 for 30 rolling around my head, where they talk about the feeling of winning the Super Bowl, how there's just nothing like it, and the blood kinship that gets built between you forever and it lasts forever. And you're going to be stubborn and stand, you know, on a you're going to try to make a point at the sacrifice of playing a guy who could help you.
Because the texter writes in here, to your point, like, why are we not nailing the player for not being professional? Okay.
You can do both.
You can do both, right? It's the Super Bowl. And I get it. You break one rule for one guy and the slippery slope arguments and discipline and football and blah, blah, all that. Frankly, nonsense.
He just told you it's not the same. He just told you it's not. Of course, it's not the same. And it's the freaking Super Bowl. And he's a free agent at the end of the year. He's going to walk away.
And to people saying he had a bad year, he's overrated based on the one play and all of that. Okay, he was good enough to play in 97% of their defensive snaps this season,
mm-hmm.
and then zero in the Super Bowl.
You know, I bet as we're talking about it. And you think about everything, and if we're granting all these things, and you think about Butler saying, they gave up on me, Belichick just must not have trusted him at all. Must have thought that he would brain fart his way to having a guy wide open behind him, that he would just get torched, that he was better off with the backup
they
out there.
They got torched.
Yeah, they sure did.
They got torched.
That's for sure.
Like, I don't know. Like, that's the thing, too. It's not like, oh, okay, you're doing a good job. Foles has a couple of turnovers. Right. You're winning the game. And so, okay, I'm going to make a point. We really don't need him. Third quarter rolls around. You're trailing by double digits.
All right, I think I'll try this guy.
Why not? It's so
he's had a knack for making a play before.
Right.
And we could use the third quarter that we dressed. Yeah, no, if it's anybody but Belichick, the crushing would be massive. And it reminds me in an odd way of, like, when Brent Seabrook went over to Jonathan Toews and screamed at him to get his head out of his ass after he committed a couple penalties against the Red Wings in a series. It's like somebody's got to take the leader to task. There's got to be somebody. And my God, at halftime, can you imagine? I wonder if Brady said, by the way, what are we doing here? If there's anybody on that defense who could say, what are we, Devin McCourty? Hey, Bill,
Matt Patricia, he's leaving to go be a defensive coordinator?
Sure.
And by the way, he found out, like, right before the game, you saw the video of him crying during the national anthem, and Eric Rowe says he found out right before the game. So he thinks he's starting the entire week, and then Belichick just surprises his whole team right before the game? That is ridiculous.
This is what he does. This is what he does.
I just feel like no one should be that Teflon. I'm not saying firing him. I'm not saying he's not still the greatest football coach ever, but That is a ridiculous line in the sand to draw that potentially cost your team the Super Bowl because of a curfew violation, some pot. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like he should be getting way more heat, and we're going to have a guy on from EEI in Boston. I wonder how much heat locally he's taking, or if they're putting it on Malcolm Butler or any number of other things, because I don't know if it cost them the game. But I know that that's not something that should hold you out of the Super Bowl if everything that has been leaked so far is the entirety of the story.
Right. A lot of guys on text saying, way to go, guys. Great take. You're ripping Bill Belichick for standing on principle. Have you noticed what they do? Have you noticed the Patriots' way and the success that they have? Yes, we have. But there were Jordan rules. There were Rodman rules. You think people didn't have rules bent for them or have discipline changed and adjusted when they got to big games? You think that doesn't happen? It happens.
The entire game. He sat out the entire game. You're punishing the rest of the team. Cut him in the offseason. Undress him, you know, like, crush him publicly in the press. Like, whatever you need. Bench him for the first half. Like, tell Michelle Tafoya at halftime that Malcolm Butler was selfish and he violated a team rule the week of the Super Bowl, and I had to take a principal stand. The entire game. I can't believe we don't have more information that it was something more egregious than that. And by the way, maybe it was the straw that broke the camel's back. Maybe Malcolm Butler this entire year, he was a habitual line stepper, and this was the last straw. And I would still say, for that being the last straw, it's crazy to punish the rest of the team for it.
We don't know the brain. Maybe, you know, the only thing I'll possibly grant is that he just didn't trust him. Just absolutely did not trust him to show up and play every snap attentively.
Even though he trusted him the entire year?
Maybe, I guess this week was different, right?
Just seems drastic. Seems really drastic. 312-644-6767. Should Belichick be getting more heat than he is? Because based on what we know now, I think absolutely. And an unbelievable tank win for the Bulls. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What athlete will just, can you fall down a YouTube rabbit hole with them? Because you did with Randy Moss after the Hall of Fame enshrinement.
I did with Randy Moss, and it's something about having the preposterous athleticism that's even better than the other incredible athletes on the field. And I know you went back and tried to give young Eli Hershkovich a little validation. So did I, watching some Jerry Rice during the break.
He was a good football player.
Good, very good. Very good football player.
Very good.
Excellent wide receiver.
This take is on fire!
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very effective. But no, it doesn't do the same kind of thing for me.
And how is it that Eli's the one that comes up with it when he is literally half of Spieg's age?
Yeah. Well, he's wrong. He's wrong. So, I mean, that's how he comes up with it.
Yeah, whippersnappers.
Youthful ignorance.
Yeah. I mean, someday I'll acquire some knowledge and some wisdom and some gray hairs. And
damn millennials.
Yeah.
let's get some obvious ones out of the way the texters are saying. And just push back if you disagree with any of these. Mike Tyson.
Oh, no, oh my God. Especially the early batch of knockouts.
I like the career ones because it gives you the early knockouts, but then it also like intermixes with the crazy and the, you know, Jim Gray, I want to eat his children.
Yeah.
Like the full, to me, Tyson is just a great YouTube watch, kind of like Bo Jackson, where I'll watch the highlight or I'll watch you tell me a story about something that he did that was mythical.
Well, now you're getting too compelling as opposed to the highlights and the athleticism itself, Danny. So stay on point.
I apologize.
My God.
I'm doing more of the YouTube rabbit hole conversation.
You are.
Sorry.
You're morphing it.
You're right. I'm morphing it a little bit. I'm millennializing it. I'm putting get onto an app.
Who's the basketball guy that you were thinking of that's not a Hall of Famer, but a basketball guy?
Jason Williams.
Passes.
White chocolate.
Yeah.
The passes and the creativity and those Kings teams, especially where they were all good passers with Peja and Chris Webber and Vlade, and they were just
Bobby Jackson.
Yeah, just unbelievable offensive creativity. And Jason Williams' highlight package. He looks like the guy that if you walked into the YMCA somewhere and he was playing pickup, that he would still be able to like go between his legs on a pass for no good reason at 45 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Just an unbelievable skill set.
How many years did Jason Williams play and was effective? Because my NFL one that I was thinking of in the same way, not a Hall of Famer by any stretch, but watching Mike Vick, watching especially...
Sure. He changed the game.
Oh,
Mike Vick completely changed football.
There and not just the running either. There are some scrambling, flick of the wrist,
the arm
60-yard throws. The arm strength, the arm talent was outrageous.
Yeah.
And that's easy to forget somehow because you think of him as this explosive, insanely creative runner, which is super fun to watch too. But just to see him flick the wrist, it's like, oh my God.
Who had the call of the Mike Vick run that won the game that said, the incomparable Mike Vick? Was that Harlan? Who had that call? Because I put that up there. Like I associate that with him in the YouTube rabbit hole. Someone Google that for me, please. The incomparable Mike Vick, because that was how it felt like watching him in his prime. Like if you played Madden in those times and you played against someone and they chose to play with Mike Vick, you were like, get out of here.
It's like
cheater.
Well, I'll give you the comp, and it's, you know, a decade earlier is Randall Cunningham.
Yep.
Randall Cunningham, and that was true of Tecmo. And
I thought you were going to go with Bo Jackson or Okoye in Tecmo Super Bowl.
Bo, obviously, but Randall was the same kind of way. You just sprint around for a while and then let yourself throw a pass to Fred Barnett.
And then the other obvious one that we're getting dozens of people to text in, Devin Hester. Devin Hester's returns, I do think, especially for Bears fans. Like, I don't know that everybody else looks at him that way.
I don't think he's in that particular class. There's an emotional connection, and it's incredibly scintillating to watch. But and
that's like for me with Derrick Rose. Like, I will watch a Derrick Rose YouTube highlight package probably annually.
There's the one of the first, about the first 3 years, it starts with him going, why not me? Right?
Yeah.
Why can't I be MVP?
And the dunk on Goran Dragic and some of the explosiveness.
I'd say that the Derek one, I give it more for Derek than I do for Devin.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I mean, that surprises me a little bit.
Yeah.
I do too, but I'm a bigger Bulls fan. So I'm a huge Derrick Rose fan. So yeah. I've definitely watched the Derrick Rose highlight package more than the Devin Hester, but I would imagine our audience is not that way.
Why do you hate Devin Hester?
Sounds like you do.
Coming in. So can you do it? Can you find that appreciation for sports which are not at the top of your list? Like hockey. I mean, can you, you watch a Patrick Kane video?
Sure.
Or a Dennis Savard video from back in the day, or a Mario Lemieux video.
Man,
that
I'll watch trick shot bowling. Like, if you're great at it, I'll watch it.
There was a Connor McDavid goal, I think, from
yesterday.
Was that last night?
Unreal.
I don't know how that happened.
Dude, that kid, man, I wish it mattered more nationally. I wish they did a better job of marketing themselves. That kid is absolutely ridiculous. And he's got like one a week from Connor McDavid. And then soccer guys. Do you watch a Lionel Messi video? Would you go and take yourself down that path?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, man, greatness.
Yeah.
I'll watch darts. Like, if it's the championship of something and there are high stakes on the line, I'm pretty sure that I'll watch it for 10 minutes. And that's the length of YouTube videos. You know what I mean? Like, this is the championship. Oh, there's $1 million on the line in this poker tournament. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll watch.
Vince Carter dunk collection.
Oh, of course. I mean, the Vince Carter dunk collection is one of the greatest ever.
And the fact that he basically handed the baton right to Jason Richardson, too.
Yeah. But so you mean in terms of, like, best dunker?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't look at Jason Richardson in the same way.
Well, I'm not saying he's a great player.
Yeah. I'm saying even like when you think of all-time great dunkers, you think of it in the same vein? Jason Richardson?
I think he is. He's up there in that top tier.
No, he's incredible. He's incredible. The in-game dunking from Vince Carter and mainly that Olympic dunk over the seven-footer. It's just...
And Sean
it
Kemp.
Separates him.
I can go down a Sean Kemp rabbit hole as well.
The power.
The power with the jumping.
Yeah.
That whole combo platter.
Kind of interesting. Do you think it's because people are haters or because he makes it look too easy that not one person has texted in LeBron James?
He makes it look so easy. It's based on power. He's the level of dominance is there. There's some, you know, certainly some passes, the block on Iguodala, but no, it's not
the
in that
stretch
class.
Against Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not in that class in terms of jumping off the screen, and that's part of what ends up leading to some hate or some lack of appreciation.
I guess.
On some level.
I guess. I mean, I think part of what it is too is that it's not as all overwhelming highlights. It's just at the end of the game he's got 30, 10, and 8.
Yes. It often doesn't come off as artful. It's just freaking relentless.
Hmm. Doesn't come off as artful, because that's interesting, because everyone says greatest basketball IQ ever, best passer ever, sees and understands the game in a next level way, makes all of his teammates better.
Yeah.
So I would think that part of it, as an appreciator of things, that you would find as artful.
Yeah, no, you're right about the passing. You're right about the passing. I guess I'm thinking about just the pure athleticism and the way the body moves. He's a freaking freight train.
Yes, he
man.
Is.
And so it's just, it is awe-inspiring.
Some
but
of it
just...
strikes you as unfair, too. It's like the genetic lottery, that like no one is as big as him on the perimeter, and then no one is as fast as him down low. So that combination feels like he's playing. Like, there should be a different league where LeBron James's equals play, but is somehow not existent because the NBA mm-hmm. is the best league out there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the almost quintessential LeBron dunk of his career in Game 7? He went all the way back, but got fouled and it didn't go in. But that would have been, if that goes in game seven of that finals,
that would
have been it along with the block.
Mm-hmm. What about the two of them?
It's the, if you guys find the call of it, I just loved that call. It's when he walks off the game against the Vikings, Mike Vick, 2002. I'm pretty sure. Roll that in, see if I'm remembering that correctly. I just remember that as being one of the coolest highlights ever in the wormhole of it. I watched Trae Young last night, who is an incredible watch right now, but there was something off of it that I just felt was kind of inherently wrong and that isn't part of this conversation. I want to talk to you about it next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Baseball, get off your ass.
That moment of honesty from Matt Spiegel brought to you by Fogo de Chão. Experience Fogo de Chão, the authentic Brazilian steakhouse where premium fire-roasted meats like filet and lamb chops are carved right at your table. Indulge today at Fogo in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville.
So I'm reading this piece in the New York Times this morning. I got a little briefing on my phone, and I click on it because it interests me. Over the past 5 years, this biologist in Germany have figured out that this certain kind of crayfish, you know what a crayfish looks like?
No.
It's horrifying. Google marble crayfish.
Okay.
Okay, marble crayfish.
C-R-A-Y.
C-R-A-Y-F-I-S-H. Right? It's a weird thing, right?
This species crayfish clones itself, and it's taking over Europe.
Before 25 years ago, that species didn't exist. Like,
what?
Nature is still doing things and still evolving, and this is evolving so fast that these things are going to take over unless we find a way to kill them all.
Wait, what?
I, for one, welcome our new crayfish overlords.
That's what I'm saying. This species
didn't
exist.
Like an animal thunderdome type of situation?
It happened where a single crayfish mutated, right?
Yeah.
And it started laying eggs, and like hundreds of eggs, and they all become crayfish. They don't need sex to do it. They don't need partners to do it. They just freaking clone themselves.
Hmm.
This just started happening. This is the kind of thing that freaks me out. Because,
really?
Yes. Because there's a huge crayfish, enormous batch of eggs, produces hundreds of eggs at a time. And people were like, this guy who figured out what was happening, he would give crayfish to his friends, right? And they'd be like, oh, these are cool. Yeah. And they'd take it home. And then they'd get freaked out because it would start to mutate. And
what would they do with them?
They'd take them home and like put them in a...
In a tank?
In a tank or something.
Okay.
And then they'd be like, yeah, there's no mating going on here, and these things are laying eggs. And every baby that it has is female. Each one is growing up, ready to reproduce. So they started driving to nearby lakes and dumping their crayfish in the lakes because they were getting scared.
What?
And now the crayfish have thrived and figured out a way. Sometimes they walk hundreds of yards to reach new lakes and streams, Danny. And there are now feral populations of crayfish, these marble crayfish, in Germany, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Croatia, and the Ukraine. And also Japan. They got to Japan and Madagascar.
These are some enterprising little crayfish.
they have designs.
Very ambitious.
Extremely ambitious.
But so for you, like, you personally are scared of this sort of thing you said. Like, how long do you think it'll take for crayfishes to really dominate the world? I feel like you're going to be gone.
Over
25 years, they've gotten to this point where they've made it to Japan.
Really, really?
By the time they get to the continental U.S., you're probably in the ground.
You know, really what it is like, every once in a while, like, you read a story and you're like, what the hell, nature?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, nature's
Come
crazy.
Come on, nature. What are you doing, nature? Or Wegner. Either one.
Science is insane.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag science.
So, thanks to the young age of the species, this 25-year-old species that never existed, it's going to shed light on one of the big mysteries about the animal kingdom. Why so many animals have sex? They're trying to figure that out based on this species, which has evolved without sex. They don't need to have it. Asexuality is a fantastic short-term strategy.
I got
one of the doctors.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Can you eat them?
That's an important question.
Well, because we're still on top of the food chain here. Like, all we have to do is figure out if one of these crayfish is delicious, and then we could sell it at Red Lobster for like a $9.99 special, and the crayfish will be gone.
They should get them cheaper than that. Come on, they're multiplying like crazy here.
Well, I don't know. Is it a delicacy? Is it an expensive item? Is it a cheap item? I mean, if crayfish are delicious, we've got nothing to worry about. If you can't eat the crayfish, we've got maybe a potential problem, but just don't move to Europe.
Yeah, the crawfish are delicious. I've had crawfish at Touffet.
Sure.
Eating crawfish. I've never eaten crayfish. I don't know.
People saying that the exponential growth is really giving off bad vibes.
It is, man.
You're worried about
I'm
the crayfish.
I'm freaked out, man.
It's magical, good vibes.
Not magical, Spat. It's not magical at all. The crayfish overlords, babe, they're coming for
us. They're coming after us.
Not good, babe.
But, you know, I did get lost towards the end of the article as it talks about how in the long term, however, there are benefits to sex. Sexually reproducing animals may be better at fighting off diseases, for example. Like, this is like this crayfish that's just mutating on its own and cloning itself. It may get a disease of some kind and just they all may get wiped out. Or they may just keep going and going and going, cloning themselves and eventually taking over our world. And you're not afraid, and that pisses me off.
I'm sorry. Well, sometimes...
You're laughing at me.
Well, I'm laughing at you because I know Mark Grody, and he's shown a spotlight on how I sometimes think in parenthetical thought. But sometimes I do laugh to myself at the idea of, like, who's the person out there that turns on the radio and joins the conversation at the midway point? And I want to know who the person is who the first thing that they heard anyone say on the radio today or Spiegel say on the radio was... And I got lost a little bit later on in the article, but apparently there are benefits to sex.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They're like, what?
You never know.
What is going on?
Well, I think we can all agree there are benefits to that.
Yeah, I want to know, I want to hear from that person.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about crayfish, sir, madam.
Yes, we are. We're talking about crayfish that walk around hundreds of yards. Let's go figure it out. How'd they get to Japan, Danny?
It's more than I walk.
How do they get from Germany to Japan? That doesn't make any sense, and you know it.
Well, they're water animals. Don't they swim?
From to Japan?
I don't know.
I don't know either. There is a limit to my crayfish knowledge. It's okay. Pretty much this article.
Maybe Dawn the produce lady can answer some crayfish questions for us.
Man, that is just freaky, you know? Scientists work on cloning things for decades and decades, and this crayfish figured it out, like, immediately on its own. We don't need any science. Just put us in a lake and we'll clone ourselves. Just watch us.
There's also some people on the text line who are just indignant and they're like, it's pronounced crawfish.
No, it isn't.
No, this is a new thing.
These are marble crayfish.
Aren't you listening?
Crawfish have a W. That's right.
Hmm. Well, yeah. I hope they're delicious, frankly.
Matt, we are also on land. Who cares about the fish? You know what? If you don't think they're coming for you, you got another thing, sir.
You should Google them.
I hope the crayfish come for you first, sir. Go after you and your family.
People saying the crawfish and crayfish are the same.
Uh-oh.
So I just loudly corrected you incorrectly. But this is the New York Times. What have they ever been accused of being fake news? It's never been anyone.
No.
Coming up next, Chris Tannehill. You did a great job recapping the entire career of Brian Urlacher. We want to discuss that amount of scope for this type of Hall of Famer after you hear it coming up on The Score. Please send me your winners at Danny Parkins on Twitter. This segment is brought to you by KFC. KFC's $5 fill-up is a real meal that always comes with a cookie and a drink, all for just $5. KFC, it's finger-licking good. I would read some texts to follow up on the crayfish conversation from the last segment, but I don't know how to catch anyone up who wasn't listening. I don't really know
That's
what
true.
Happened.
No.
I don't know how to summarize it.
We might
it.
Just have to let that be there.
Yeah. Check the podcast.
I will say that crayfish and crawfish are apparently the same thing.
The more you know.
And if you drench them in butter and or fry them, they're probably going to be just fine.
Then I'm not worried.
Gordon Ramsay says you can't eat them, these new marble crayfish. But, man, it is just... I found another article about it. An aquarium accident may have given this crayfish the DNA to take over the world. Is on sciencemag.org. It
sounds official.
It's Spider-Man.
I trust .org.
Really, sciencemag.org.
It's .org. .org is like, all right, that feels official. I've seen some ridiculous .coms in my day, some .nets, but .org.
.edus feel even better, don't they?
.edu.
Except that.
.edu or .org, which has more prestige attached to it? I don't know.
These days, probably .org.
Probably .org, right?
It's sad.
Yeah.
We're talking a lot about college athletics and some terrible things that have been going on.
Yeah, .org.
.tv maybe.
.tv. Yeah, absolutely.
This is why I'm screaming at baseball to do something.
Yeah, right. Well, someone said this conversation's really getting out of control, and I would just say we enjoy the tangents and the randomness on this show quite a bit.
Yeah.
At all times, but in a post Super Bowl pre opening day world, get used to it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
That is exactly right. If you got thoughts, share them.
So let's parrot some programming from the afternoon show. Chris Tannehill did an incredible job on the career of Brian Urlacher, and you could get it on his SoundCloud page and on his Twitter account and all of that, the audio overlord of the Bernstein and Goff show. Speaks hasn't heard this yet. I listened this morning. Absolutely worth your time. And this is a Hall of Famer who the vast majority of us can remember all of Brian Urlacher's career. So it's pretty fun to relive this.
With the ninth choice in the NFL Draft 2000, the Chicago Bears select Brian Urlacher, linebacker, New Mexico.
Brian's a tremendous player, and he's going to be a tremendous player on into the future.
When you play linebacker for the Bears, you have to be athletic. Brian Urlacher is one of the most athletic guys you're going to find.
Brian Urlacher makes you think about those great Chicago Bear middle linebackers.
I get in a lot of first games here out of the way and just get a chance to run around and play some football.
On his back, let's come in, Urlacher got it. It's Urlacher again. Urlacher straightened him up. He's going to get sacked. Brian Urlacher from the backside. Caught him. Picked up by Brian Urlacher. Brian Urlacher, who has just been nothing but sensational.
Brian Urlacher.
Brian Urlacher.
Brian Urlacher on the blitz.
Pick number 54, the seven-time Pro Bowler right in the middle of it.
You can't imagine anybody else lining up at the middle linebacker position other than Brian Urlacher. I mean, he stands what Chicago Bears football is.
Pockets tight. Hit by Urlacher. And down he goes. Sacked by Lack.
Roger steps up, and he's picked off by Urlacher.
Down he goes. Brian Urlacher coming clean on the blitz.
Intercepted. Urlacher. Unbelievable.
If you watch our defense, we got 11 guys running the football every play. Around here, it's a culture. You watch film on other teams, the football's thrown on D-line when stop and watch. Ours turn and run.
Recovered by the Bears. Brian Urlacher on the recovery. What's new?
Now the place is coming to life. Soldier Field erupts. Stafford to throw. Screen. Red beautifully and dropped by Urlacher.
Get some breathing room, but Urlacher says to Arian Foster.
That's an athletic interception. Brian Urlacher just running stride for stride. Look at the athleticism right there. He knows where Tony Gonzalez is going to be.
Brian Urlacher will cruise down the sideline and coast for the touchdown.
Urlacher wants the defensive rookie of the year, wants the defensive player of the year in the National Football League and the face of this Bears franchise.
Look how big Brian Urlacher is. He's so fast. He's so big. He's so athletic. He's going to close down the windows in these zone defenses.
His resume speaks for itself. He was the leader. He was the cornerstone. He was a rock. He was that big brother that you didn't want to let down.
Urlacher just gave the Bears and these fans what they needed.
Brian Urlacher, the defensive player of the year, forces the three and out. Watch Urlacher here, guys. Kept reaching in and just pulled it out of the arms of James.
Butkus, Singletary, Urlacher.
The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Who else? Urlacher. Brian Urlacher is just locking in on 32, and he's coming to get him and get him and get him again.
Brian Urlacher has decided to take over this football game.
They are who we thought they were, and we let him off the hook.
Bear fans, your dream is reality. Begin the migration to Miami and Super Bowl 41.
He's taken in for a touchdown.
Brian Urlacher back in business. That's good to see if you're a Bear fan.
Brian Urlacher, the fitting tackle, the most tackles in franchise history, the number 54.
I don't want to hang on longer than I should. No, I don't want to play for anybody else.
Rodgers picked off by Brian Urlacher in a spectacular interception.
And the Bears get the turnover. Urlacher with the recovery.
Shotgun snap is back to Hasselbeck. The pressure
intercepted by Brian Urlacher. 45 running left. Urlacher to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
Brian Urlacher in his 13th year just kept spreading that out, and finally, Benson had nowhere to run.
Briggs and Urlacher.
Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher. Those two guys quite likely will be visiting each other at the Hall of Fame.
His athleticism brought new potential to his position and new problems to his opposition. The quintessential Chicago linebacker, Brian Urlacher.
Whether you're in the Hall of Fame or not, it doesn't change the teammate I was or the way I played the football game.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2018.
Pretty awesome.
That's great stuff.
Pretty awesome.
Chris Tannehill, well done. That was Rich Eisen on Saturday night when they announced all those guys. Yeah, man, some chills in there. That's for sure.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Bernstein and Goff coming up, obviously, at 1 o'clock. You should always be listening to the show, and Tanny does some great work on the show.
It strikes me that he's one of the first like Hall of Famers. I remember every step of his career. You know, like the entirety of it from when he was drafted, and certainly here, there's been some baseball ones of recent note with, you know, with Frank and Maddox and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't, all of Urlacher, I was here for every moment of Urlacher. And that means that you remember some stuff that came up in the negative way, you know, like doubts about his playing style that came up along the way. The belittling of his playing style. You remember people belittling his style? Like,
yeah.
Man, you put a blocker on him, he gets Velcroed to Urlacher, and that's that.
Behind Washington and Traylor, they're doing all the dirty work.
Right.
And yeah.
Right.
Well, to me, he was just the ability to make the game-changing play and the turnovers was just so incredible for an inside backer. Like, he could do everything. Mm. It felt to me like when you were watching him that was the guy that, you know, obviously safety coming out of college and the whole thing. It was like, yeah, he could play safety. Yeah, he could play linebacker. Yeah, he could play weak side. Like whatever you needed him to do, he was capable of doing it. And, of course, where he thrives in Lovey's Tampa, too.
Right. And it took a little while to sort of appreciate that and honor it for what it was. But it's like, I just find, I don't know whether it's the perspective of age or just kind of like being able to look at the career in totality and thinking about the selective memory on it. Like, you know, what, and those things like criticizing greatness, right? Because we did criticize greatness along the way.
Yeah.
And he was probably doing it too. He was probably critiquing his own play along the way too, and frustrated at certain things about his own play.
Well, Hall of Famers are not perfect,
right?
But it is ridiculous, right? For some of us, and we have no athletic ability to be able to criticize any degree of what these guys do. But it's part of the job and the existence of the sports fan. And he himself would hold him accountable.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't think it's ridiculous. You know, it's interesting looking back on it. Like, you know, it's understandable. It's not wrong to have questioned them, wanted more out of them along the way.
No, I just, you know what I mean. It's like he's nitpicking at a Hall of Famer. It's like, who's the greatest quarterback of all time? All right, you got Brady, and I got Elway, and Campy's got Marino, and Eli's got Peyton. It's like, well, we all got really good quarterbacks. But sure, you can parse greatness a little bit, but at some point it does feel like you're like me and the Mona Lisa, which I stand by 100%, by the way. Mona
overrated.
Lisa, very overrated.
Small, hard to see.
Yeah, not impressive. Well, 1,000 pieces of artwork at the Louvre better than the Mona Lisa. Very uninspiring piece of work.
Why do you hate the Mona Lisa?
I just told you why.
Yeah, there it is.
But you know, but so like I understand that part of it. But he was dominant, man. He was dominant. I thought it was awesome in terms of those playmaking, the stats from Dan Pompey, in terms of inside backers who had his total of interceptions and sacks. Only inside linebacker ever to have more, Ray Lewis. Like in terms of, because you just look at inside linebacker, the stereotype is tackling machine. Racks up the tackles, but doesn't make the plays that result in turnovers or punts. And that was not what Brian Urlacher was. So I always thought of him as just this playmaker who could do everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's interesting. Texter says he suffered from the same idea as your LeBron conversation earlier. We critiqued his shedding of blocks because his side and speed combo was how rare it was. It was shocking that anybody blocked him. The guy was fast enough to chase down Vic. Like, how can you block him? Right? It doesn't seem like he should be blockable. He's that strong, that fast.
Sure.
But of course he was, because football's hard. And they get a little leverage.
Yeah, one of the other guys are also big and fast and athletic, and teams are game planning, and the quarterbacks are always shouting out, you know, 54's the mic, 54's the mic. Mm-hmm. So he always was a part of the defensive game plan. I thought Dan Pompey, you know, he was on the morning show, and he was on with us before the Hall of Fame, and he wrote the piece for The Athletic, and I thought he was great and as transparent as he could be in so much of this stuff where you're not supposed to report on anything from inside the room that is said. You're not supposed to divulge any of that, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it. But in his piece on The Athletic, he shared what his final line was. He was like, the debate over Brian Urlacher's Hall of Fame candidacy should only be about whether or not the bust is bald or with hair. Like, you know what I mean? It's such an open and shut case. It is a no doubt.
The numbers are there. The eye test was there. The performance was there.
And he talked to Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. And he talked to his peers, and they were there. And when we've had Manley in, and obviously you've known Pat for so much longer than I have, but I think some of the stuff that's cool about Brian that you maybe don't appreciate quite as much when you're watching him in the moment of it was that how we talked about how Romo could predict plays from the booth and how that was a quarterback skill.
Oh, Urlacher just sniffing stuff out.
That he knew it. Like, and that's what they say about Luke Kuechly, right? That Luke Kuechly is always yelling what the other team's plays were, and he knows their audibles, and he knows stuff better than seemingly some of the guys who are on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
That's the level of understanding of the game that Urlacher had.
For sure. But, you know, in this town, we're like, some people obviously old enough to feel like the 85 Bears were theirs, and Hampton and Dent and Singletary were theirs, but no, not me. Urlacher feels like my Hall of Famer. Remember every bit of it. Remember, you know, Pappy bitching about how they didn't take Sebastian Janikowski instead of him, you know? And it just, and the beginning, and just trying to figure out exactly what this guy was, and it working with Lovey, and then, you know, and even the ugly end, and the whole evolution of him as a speaker, too. Like, he was upset with media, pissed off at media for a while, and then kind of since retirement is relaxed, and he's great fun to talk to these days, but feels like mine.
Feels like yours.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah,
just
no, I get it.
I remember every step of it.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, is it Sayers or Butkus or Singletary or anything. I wasn't here for every bit of that.
I wonder how many other people feel like that, and some of the memories that have been going around on Urlacher has been fun. And I'm with you on him as a speaker, because he just wasn't very open, right, when it was all going on. But our visits with him through Pat, and afterwards we had him on when he was announced mm-hmm. As a finalist and a semifinalist, and he was fantastic. I bet you he gives a good speech.
Urlacher?
Like, if he's that...
I bet he does, yeah.
If he's that relaxed... But I would have never said that when he retired. You know, I would have said Hall of Famer, but I would have never said that, like, you know, that's one to, if you're a Bears fan, to consider, like, making the drive, get in the hotel room,
yeah,
doing the reservation, going to Canton.
But you don't do that for the speech necessarily. You do that because you have that sense of ownership. Like, I bet there's going to be a lot of dudes in their 30s and 40s who are driving out to see their guy, their Hall of Famer.
Sure, but the speech is the thing where, like, that's what people remember, I guess. And maybe people will say, I'd want to go to the Hall of Fame game to see him walk out on the field in the gold jacket. But I think, you know, you're going to go, you're going to sit outside, you're going to sit through the hours and hours that is that presentation and speeches of six other people that you don't care about as much. Like, I bet he delivers. Just based on how comfortable he felt. Like, if he takes that amount of comfort into his speech, I would think that he will actually do a surprisingly great job. And I would have never said that when he retired.
Depends how good the ghostwriter is, as
of course,
well.
as is always the case, right? Really interesting NBA story involving LeBron, but we want to get to some of your Urlacher reaction, too. We'll do it coming up. Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.